to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where, as always, we're here together working on our financial IQ. Remember that all the parts of a balanced life require some study, some education. You've got to constantly be working on your IQ in each of the arenas. This is a show for people who generally just, they're here because they want more out of life. They're dissatisfied with the J-O-B or just over broke strategy. They want to drive Ferraris. They want to be able to travel. They want to do the things with their life that make them happy. And it's also for people, as I mentioned, who are dissatisfied. They've turned 45. They're going, man, I've worked, you know, 25 years. I'm still not in the financial position I want to be in, and they're willing to do something about it. Now, I bring you guests on a regular basis, but today's guest is somebody special because of his massive amount of experience in multiple sectors of real estate investing. We're talking single family flipping, wholesaling, single family rental, apartment rental, self-storage, and commercial. His name is Jason Bible. He's Mr. Texas Real Estate, and his website is MRTXRE, Mr. Texas Real Estate. So, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Steve. This is going to be great. I love being on the radio with you.
Well, how long have we known each other? I forgot about that.
2011? I think I started listening to you on the show and then showed up and, you know, had you as a mentor for years. And so I think it's been 10 years.
Been 10 years. And you took the ball and took it over the finish line multiple times, which is a great inspiration. If you would, let's start off by talking about your first year, your second year, because didn't you do like 30 homes your first year?
Yeah, so my first year before I went full-time, I did four houses. I flipped two, okay, and then I rented two. And that gave me a pretty good exposure to what I liked and what I didn't like. And then I decided July 4th, 2013, Independence Day, was my last day of gainful employment as a W-2 employee. So I quit my job, and then we started flipping and wholesaling houses. And by the end of 2013, we did seven houses. We made about $500,000 flipping houses, seven houses,
wow.
Right. So then we immediately went out and bought Lambos. No, we didn't do that. That's always the joke, right? It's like,
right,
whenever there's a wholesaler or flipper in town, right, he starts making a little money, all of a sudden he's driving a Lambo. Like,
exactly.
We didn't do that. We put all our money right back into the business. We hired our first employee, I want to say it was January 15th. And that first full calendar year, we bought 67 houses that year in 2014.
Amazing.
And then we did 90 plus after that. And then I think we peaked at about 150 houses a year. So mostly flipping and wholesaling, but did a ton of houses in town and turned into a real business.
And then you moved over to some commercial.
Yes.
Now, you did self-storage last year, or mm-hmm. was that this year?
No, that was last year. We closed on our first self-storage deal.
Was that during COVID?
Oh, yeah. That was during COVID. COVID was kind of crazy. And I think COVID is indicative of how markets change and people start getting really uncertain. And so my background is in risk management and analyzing markets and all that kind of stuff. And so when COVID started, I'll never forget, I could find the tweet and I put it on Instagram too. And it was February 2nd, 2020, when I said, guys, watch this. I don't know what's going to happen, but they shut down Wuhan, which is a city of 26 million people. And let's be honest, the Chinese don't exactly have the best human,
I know the word you're looking for, and
human,
I can't think of it.
Human rights, human rights, relations, yeah, sort of thing. So if they're willing to shut down an entire city because of a bug, what's going to happen to the United States? Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't really matter, because
right,
something's coming down the pike. And I'll never forget, I was out with a happy hour with a couple of folks, and I saw the Chiron graphic at the bottom of one of the TVs at the bar we were at, and it said, as of 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, we're closing all the restaurants. That was in March. And so me and the folks I was like, we're going out all night.
Yeah.
So we went, to dinner. We went to the Federal. We went everywhere, right? And then I started doing an update every day at noon. Not only our traditional show that we always do, but I did a market update every day at noon just to say, hey, guys, here's all the latest information with regards to what's going on. My background's in, my undergraduate's in environmental science, chemistry, and I worked in healthcare and biomedical research. So although I'm not an expert in any of this stuff, I'll just tell you that right now, but I've got enough to translate it in layman's terms to say, hey, this is what's coming down the pike, right? Like, what is really happening here? One of my jobs when I worked at the Health Science Center is I sat on that emergency response committee. So I knew what was, we planned for this. I knew it was coming down the pike, right?
Sure.
I could see things that were happening. So I did this update every day at noon. I said, hey guys, this is what's going to happen. This is what's happening next. This is what the science is saying. This is, but I also did it for my investors to say, guys, don't pull all your money. Don't freak out yet. Like, let's just wait and see how it goes. And so right around April, May-ish is when I started looking at my business partners and I said, guys, we need to get all in. We need to buy as much real estate as we can get our hands on. And they said, are you sure? I was like, absolutely. So we bought the self-storage facility. We bought the building that we own now. We bought a 30,000 square foot building, office building. We bought all kinds of stuff and we just kept going and going. Everyone was scared, running around. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? We don't know. But as you know, that's how markets crash.
Yep.
When markets crash, people get scared. And although we didn't experience a market crash, that same fear was running through the marketplace. And we look back now, I mean, single family homes are up 20% in less than a year.
Yep.
You know, office, some now class A office space is hurting, but we're in that class B, B minus space, self-store. I mean, everything's doing really well. And so I think you've got to be, you know, because you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, that is, if you can ride through those little crashes, the crash only lasts 18 months. And if you've got a cash flowing piece of real estate, more than likely you're going to be okay.
Absolutely.
So it's buy while others are fearful. And I'm almost gotten to the point now where I'm like, I don't think there's ever a bad time to buy.
Yeah, we talk about that on the show all the time, because if you go back to 2008, when the crash came, when that big crash recession, what was it called? The Great Recession.
Yeah, the Great Recession. Right.
I bought everything I could get my hands on, but my apartments just kept cash flowing.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't know what the number was, I'm going to make one up. If I had $100 million worth of apartments and they dropped to $70 million, I didn't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
It was still cash flowing.
That's right.
No one's going to force me to sell in a down market. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for it to come back up before I sell because I have the cash flow.
That's right.
So, yeah, we make money in both the up and down markets. And I'm looking forward to a correction, hopefully the end of this year or early next year, so that we get some tremendous deals when all these foreclosures start coming on the market and so on, if everything goes as we expect. Your story is interesting to me because you didn't have, most people have a catastrophe that wakes them up in corporate America. You didn't. You had a really successful career in corporate America, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Jason Bible, Mr. Texas Real Estate. You can find him online at MRTXRE, MrTexasRealEstate.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk more after the break. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. For reservations, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Jason Bible, who is one of the most experienced real estate vast across so many different platforms. You know, I love diversification, and I know my listeners are going, what?
Oh, you're going to get the emails here in a minute.
Yeah. But it's one basket.
That's right.
The basket is real estate, but I want multiple streams of income in that basket. I don't agree with put your egg in one basket. I believe in put your eggs in one basket, mm-hmm. multiple streams of income. When Carnegie said that, he had all those steel mills at the time, mm-hmm. and then he diversified into other things, such as, did he get into the railroad too?
He got into the railroad at one point, yeah.
But that was to distribute his steel.
That's right.
I mean, just pure genius. Like Warren Buffett, he goes and buys a mobile home manufacturer, then buys the carpet company that makes the carpet for the mobile homes. Then he buys the appliance company that makes the appliance company. Just genius.
All right, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret because we've not talked about this publicly, but I'll go ahead and let you in. I was sitting there in the office one day, and we do investments outside of real estate too. We do private placements. Actually, we have a private placement with a big marketing company out of Utah.
Okay.
And Rob and I, early on, he's my business partner, we're having this conversation about the value chain because that's what that is called, right? Elon Musk does it almost better than anybody else right now. And Rob and I said, you know, we should build or buy companies all along the real estate value chain. So a lot of folks don't know this, but I own an insurance company. I'm about to take a position in a title company. We own a construction company. We actually have a relationship with a mortgage company. And we've got seven different companies inside our organization. And the reason we did it was we wanted to, A, control the product, right? So if I put something under contract, it's my real estate agent. Oh, we have an EXP team too. So it's my real estate agents that are making the offer, right? And then it's my insurance company that's placing the insurance company. It's my construction company that's doing the construction. It's my lending company that's lending to us to go do the deal. Or it's my fund. And so we own that entire value chain, not only from a profitability standpoint, but from a control standpoint. And I'm just following what those guys did, right? I'm just following Elon Musk. I mean, I'm following all these other guys. I mean, it makes sense to me. It was like, you know, and I'm glad we're having this conversation on the show today. It was like, you were my first step into real estate. So I just took some of my business experience. I met you. You showed me, hey, man, this is how real estate works. And I was like, oh, we could totally take what we learned in healthcare. Rob comes out of construction and construction management. I'm like, I can take my healthcare and business experience. I met you 10 years ago, and we put it all together and build this really great organization. And, you know, the old, I think it's Jim Rohn that says it, you know, success leaves clues.
Yes, that is Jim Rohn.
Well, if I'm just following all these other guys, like, well, I don't have to reinvent the wheel for real estate. I just go do exactly what they did. Right? I mean, just it's kind of like, you know, you guys here, there's no secret to being successful in real estate. Just follow what you do. Follow the map. Yep. Not that hard.
It really is. And it makes me sad when I see brilliant people. The problem is they know they're brilliant and they go, well, I'm just going to figure out real estate on my own. I don't need to take a course. And they go trial and error it and I've seen people waste decades.
Yes.
Where if they'd have taken a course, they could have cut a decade off of their learning mm-hmm. curve. So it's so powerful for them to, that's just a great story, especially the value chain. I'd not heard that term before, but that's exactly what you're doing, and that's going to be incredible.
Well, I'll tell you, let's go back to your analogy, because you and I work with a lot of the same people, brilliant people. Mm-hmm. Rocket scientists, PhDs, MDs, all that stuff. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm just going to go over to a website or a blog and I'm just going to figure it out myself. And I love those kind of guys because I sit down and go, hey, man, what's your PhD in? Nuclear engineering. Can you learn that from a book? Can you just learn that from a book and then they're going to help? Then you're going to go design
nuclear power
or a couple of YouTube videos. My favorites are the doctors, right? Like, I'll figure it out. You're a surgeon, right? How long was your residency? Well, 2 years, and then I spent another 3 years at Johns Hopkins. Right. So, how about for a couple $100 for a weekend class, you sit down for 3 days here and we get you sorted out. Then you can decide if you want to take the next step. But I'll cut down your learning curve. Like when you do your weekend class, right? You'll cut down their learning curve by 10 years.
Absolutely.
So it's like, just what's the big deal, man? It's just one class. And then you can decide if you want to go to the next level, all that other stuff, right?
Right.
But yeah, these guys that think, it's always fascinating to me, the guys that have incredible education and background, and they go, well, I'm going to go figure it out on my own. I'm like, why would you do that?
Well, that's part of the reason behind, I believe, and I want to get your opinion on this, the dumb doctor deal or the dumb attorney deal mm-hmm. or the dumb engineer deal. These are brilliant people, and their flaw is they know they're brilliant, which makes them think they're – look, I'm a brilliant surgeon, mm-hmm. so I'm obviously going to be a brilliant investor.
Right.
Man, that's those two things are so far apart.
No.
I spend a minimum of 30 grand a year on continuing education.
Yes.
I just bought Grant Cardone's multifamily class. Mm-hmm. It was 10 grand. Totally worth it. I didn't learn anything I didn't already know except a new way to express it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally worth the 10 grand. You've got to, well, that leads to another conversation. You've got to constantly be growing. I talk to people all the time. I don't know if I can tell this story because they may be listening, but if they are, I'm sorry. But I had a friend go, yeah, I'm going to come to your expo on crawfish, but I'm just coming for the crawfish because I've already got all the education I need.
All right.
And I, of course, am going, do you have a couple million in the bank? No. Do you have the relationship you want? No. You in the physical condition you want? No. What do you mean you don't need more education?
Sounds like there's some areas for growth here. You know, I think I know where you're going with this, like the brilliant doctor and all that stuff. Here's where the real genius is in real estate. And I think this is what people miss all the time. Don't get me wrong. Cash flow is great. But you know where you get rich? Holding on to it.
Yep.
The real genius in real estate, and this is what really smart people have a problem with, is wait. You buy and wait. And for the surgeon, for the attorney, for the small business owner that's making big bucks, they're not accustomed to getting into something and then just not doing anything. You buy that apartment complex, and once it's stabilized, you wait. And I think that really messes with their heads because they're like, no, we gotta do this. We gotta refi. Just wait. Just give it some time, man. Just trust me. It's going up.
It's
just wait. But the problem is that they're so used to go, you know, get better, more surgery, more this, more accolades.
Well, when you're used to getting a check every 15th and 30th, you get addicted to that.
That's right.
And then you buy an apartment complex and you don't get a check for a year, but it's a huge check.
Mm-hmm.
Or like your strategy, what you're talking about, waiting 4 or 5 years to really get a gigantic mm-hmm. check. Yeah, they're not used to that at all. That's a good point.
I had to do some numbers the other day for our fund. So we have a single family fund. It's closed right now, so I can talk about it. I want to say about $6 million in assets in there. And it's appreciating 30% a year. We're making 180 grand a month just in appreciation. And
incredible.
The cash flow from it, it's not real attractive. 6-7%, nothing crazy.
Right.
But you sit down and look at the equity and it's like, guys, there's a huge payday coming. And the people in the fund are like, oh, now we get it. Because I kept talking about it, right? And we got it. But it's like, it's the waiting part. You made a good decision. Now it's time to wait. And that's the part for high income professionals, for business owners, where they get all wrapped around the axle, where it's like, oh, man, just wait. Look, we did all the good work, due diligence on the front end. It's cash flowing. Now let's just wait. And it kind of gets in their own head. What do you mean we got to wait? I'm like, that's how investing really works. You know, you mentioned Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett owns all kinds of stuff. Part of that is in that value chain. But one of my favorite things Warren Buffett says, and it slips out of the financial media every now and then, he'll say, folks diversify because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And it'll occasionally make it on MSNBC, and everyone's like, whoa, no, this is really what he means. And he's absolutely right. But what is he, quote, diversified in? Stuff he knows a lot about. And I'll tell you, for those of you who are brand new listening to the show, I could tell you right now the one asset class you know better than anything you own, and that's the single-family house you live in.
Yep.
You know the neighbors, you know the neighborhood, you know the school district, you know everything that's going on in that. I don't care, even if you're the smartest stockbroker or whatever on the planet, you know that single family house better than anything else. And there's no reason you can't translate that experience to buying more single family or more apartments or more other commercial real estate. I mean, it's totally doable. So I think that's the big thing with the really smart folks, where it's like, man, I'm just so smart. I think I have to do something all the time. It's the waiting that really brings in the wealth.
Yeah, I had apartment complexes, which, like you said, the cash flow was 6-7% for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, boom, we'd refinance it and get an 85% rate of return. We'll divide that by 2 years. That's 42 and a half plus the six. So it was close to a 50% rate of mm-hmm. return. But you had to wait the 2 years. And now, the way the market is, you're waiting 3 and 4 years before you're refinancing them. Let me open the phone lines. If you've got a question for Jason or myself, please feel free to give us a call right now. 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. Or you're welcome to email me at asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Now, let me encourage you, if you feel like you've got a dumb question or you're a little shy, call in and use a fake name. Or put anonymous in the subject line of the email and we won't use your name. But I promise you this, there's no dumb question. There isn't, because there may be something holding you back that's completely false. So make sure you ask it. Call us at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. We'll talk more after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Thanks for listening. Real estate accounts for more millionaires in America than any other investment vehicle. This second stream of income can truly change your life. More time for travel, romance, and much more. More time for whatever you want to do with your life. To find out how to build this second stream of income, attend our free 2-hour introductory workshop on real estate investing. To reserve a seat, visit gettotalwealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Remember, you can always find us online at GetTotalWealth.com. One of you emailed me about the class Thursday and can't make it. We're doing one Saturday as well. So if you're interested in our free sample class on how to build wealth with real estate, there's one Thursday evening. It's about an hour and a half long. Or there's one Saturday morning. I cannot reserve you a seat. You'll need to go to GetTotalWealth.com and just click on the free workshop button. Click on the free workshop button. Okay, if you've got a question for Jason or myself, please give us a call now. It's 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com, asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. I forget, did we finish our thoughts at the end of the last segment?
We did.
Okay, then let's do a case study
okay. Of
one of your bigger flips, high-end. The reason is a lot of the members are moving into the high-end flips. Mm-hmm. Share a story of one of those.
So in the flip world, I was given a presentation one time about the business model of flipping. And a couple of things folks have to realize. I hear this all the time where somebody says, well, I just want to do a light rehab and I want to flip like a $200,000 house. And I'm like, that's not what you really want to flip.
Right.
So you really want to flip houses above 250 grand. And you've got to run about a 20% margin. So I dominated for years, 77077 over here. It's the Energy Corridor. It's right off of I-10. It's a great area of town. It's just outside of Memorial. The last one that we did over there, I want to say we bought it for 200, 210, put 100 into it, sold at like 515, 520, somewhere around
there. Nice.
So, in fact, I just bought my personal house. I just bought down in Spring Branch. We paid 200 for it. Rehab's going to be about, well, this is my personal house. I'm kind of going overboard
a little fancy.
Yeah, getting a little fancy. We're spending 50 grand just in the backyard for the pool and everything else. So it's going to be super nice. But it's one of those things where you buy and you just, you know.
It's there to serve you and enjoy.
That's right. About. Well, and I know this is something you guys talk about. Your personal house is not an investment.
Right.
Your personal house is something to enjoy, right?
Yeah.
So if I were to flip that, bought it for 200, we put in 75. ARV's 450. Heck, by the time we sell it, if I were to sell it, it's probably going to be $500,000.
So amazing.
You ought to make, on a $500,000 house, you ought to make about $100,000. You need that 20% margin.
Right.
Can you go to 15? Sure. Can you go to 10? Starts getting a little slim. So where I see people make mistakes in flips is they just don't allow themselves enough margin. But our business operates on that 20% margin all day long. If you get into new construction, you get into additions and all that, that's a whole different animal. But taking that single family house and opening up, you need to hire an architect, an engineer, and all that sort of thing. But it's not uncommon for us 20% all day long. We don't do as much flipping as we used to. Most of our stuff is buy and hold. In fact, what we've done with the flipping model, instead of flipping these higher-end houses, we turn them into Airbnbs. And the reason we turn them into Airbnbs is they'll cash flow a little bit. $300,000-$500,000 house. That's what I do with all my beach houses. I got 15 beach houses.
Wow.
And what's nice is we were able to hold on to them a little bit longer. They appreciate 20 to 30% in a year. Then we sell them and we get this huge equity pop. You know, if you're talking about 30% a year appreciation on a $500,000 house, your exit is looking amazing.
Yeah, no doubt.
But they don't, even with Airbnb, they're not cash flowing thousands of dollars a month. That's kind of like what the Airbnb gurus will tell you. And I'm like, nah, not really. And they take a lot more work. However, if you've got that time and you could put in that time, you get two or three of these things, you're going to make a big pop on the exit. And when we started doing this about 3 years ago, we're just now starting to liquidate some of those properties now. And we're taking $200,000 and $300,000 equity out of a house that's now $700,000 that 3 years ago was $400,000.
Wow.
So I recommend that as a strategy, but I can tell you right now, it ain't passive.
No.
So it's definitely not passive.
It's a job.
It's a job, but here's the cool thing. It's like flipping where you get this big payday, and you're also in a different tax situation, right?
You're
a long-term tax. Yeah, you're in a long-term capital gain situation. So a lot of the stuff that we used to flip, we don't even do that anymore. We just turn it right into an Airbnb.
Yeah, every Airbnb that I've analyzed has about the same cash-on-cash rate of return as your standard one-year lease. Mm-hmm. And you have to do three times as much work.
That's right.
So I have not been a fan of it. I like it the way you're doing it because you can get the higher end homes to cash flow, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, they generally don't if you're just doing a year lease. Let's talk about what's the biggest apartment that you've done so far, door wise?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. We end up buying them piecemeal. Largest one I've got is actually the one that we have under contract right now is a 40 unit.
Okay.
And it's a 40 unit that needs everything. So our
My favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our specialty in multifamily is we buy stuff that is destroyed.
Yeah.
Like we buy stuff that the last one I bought, which is on the South Loop over here, I want to say 22 doors, something like that. It's so bad that I couldn't tell where one unit started and the other one ended.
Holy Toledo. So you walk in and you can see from one end of the building to the other.
That's right. And they have occupancy is zero. Yeah. Well, if you count the crackheads and all that other stuff, right? I mean, they're bad. I'll tell you, in Corpus Christi, we're in Houston and in Corpus Christi. In Corpus Christi, we took a section of the city. We're now rehabbing that entire section of the city. So we'll go in and buy like a 4 unit here, a 6 unit here, and then the owners will find out across the street that we're buying. They're like, hey, do you want to buy this from us? It's a nightmare to own, and let's say I own an acre next to this, so why don't you guys clean up the neighborhood, and then I'm going to build over here. And we're like, okay, cool. So it's almost like there's this group of owners. They're just selling them to us, and we're just turning the entire neighborhood around. It's not a strategy for a new investor, but that's really been our specialty in the multifamily space.
That's very cool.
But you got to have an extensive construction background. It's tough to do that kind of in your first deal. But this next one, this 40 unit, will be the largest one in our portfolio. We're negotiating right now just under 100 units in another section of the city.
Nice.
But I'll tell you, the small apartments have been lucrative to us. The first one we did was in Cashmere Gardens. We're all in at $825. And it should be on the market right now at 1.4. So we'll make net. Yeah, we'll make net about $500,000 on something we bought for eight. It's 13 doors.
That's amazing.
It's wild. So now don't get me wrong. You're going to take your bumps and your bruises when you're playing in some of those marketplaces. But the pop you're going to get on the back end is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's like the first ever apartment complex that I bought was a 10-unit, beat to death, mm-hmm. but it was 100% occupied, and it had all the drywall, but the carpet was bad in every single one of them, mm-hmm. roof was bad, exterior needed paint. I mean, it was a disaster, and we took in the money to do all that, and that was about $7,000 a door, but you're not going to believe this. I paid $10,000 a door for that property.
Jeez.
Put in seven. No, $12,000 a door. Put in seven and sold it a couple of years later for like $25,000, $30,000. And you know what the sad thing is?
What's that?
I didn't understand NOI. I sold it for $300,000 less than it was worth.
That education's expensive, isn't it?
No doubt. I was like, you know, I immediately went out and spent about $30,000 on a multifamily course.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I was like, I just lost $300,000. I'm going to buy this $30,000 course and make the $300,000 back.
That's right.
I was like, this is the best investment I've ever done. Crazy. All right. Phone lines are open. 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. Or email me at asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. This is Sawyer Smith. Oh, sorry, Sawyer. I'm not supposed to give out that last name, but there's a lot of Smiths, so you're safe.
Are you reading the email right now?
Yeah, bottom line is he's asking, at what point is it commercial? For us, it's 5 units and above. In other words, 4 units, 1 to 4 units, duplex, triplex, fourplex, is even sold, and the offers are written on the single family contract. Mm-hmm. You start using commercial contracts when it's 5 units and above. And then we've got a caller. I'm sorry, Zach. He told me you were on the hold. I'd let you hold for a long time. I apologize for that, Zach. Thank you so much for calling in. How are you today?
Apologize in advance. I have not listened, unfortunately, to most of the show today, so I don't want to be repetitive. But my question is about taxes and 1031s, and if you've been kind of following, not to get political at all, but, you know, taxes are potentially changing. We all know, you know, the beauties of real estate, right? Well, we all know, and that is the tax advantages. So it's common sense to, you know, connect the dots and think that they may be coming after real estate people, and I finally heard some literature about that the other week. Have you been following that? What are your thoughts? Do you think it'll, you know,
I think he's going to have trouble getting it through because, and Jason, you can answer your opinion next, because all our legislators own massive amounts of, guess what, real estate. You look at Nancy Pelosi. How's he going to get her on his team to get rid of the 1031 when she uses the 1031? I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it's a red herring that he's using to scare, and he's willing to give up. What do you think, Jason?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, it's funny when you watch politics and you see there's a civil war that's going on in the Democrat Party between the Cortez and Nancy Pelosi, because Pelosi, for all her bumps and warts, her husband is very rich in real estate.
Yeah.
Crazy successful real estate. And I don't see, and Steve, you're absolutely right, all these guys own real estate. I don't see that 1031 exchange going anywhere. If it does, you're going to see a massive repricing in commercial real estate.
Yep.
Okay. Single family 1031s, I mean, people use them, but it's really the commercial. Yeah, it's really commercial real estate.
Well, you hit my question. That was going to be my next question, was let's skip to the prediction, or skip the predictions, and say if it does happen, what's the effect on the market? And that's why I worry. I actually want to join y'all's group, and I'll talk about that later or separately, but I'm in a commercial syndication or two. And, of course, that's the name of the game, right? And you're exactly right. We have all these 1031 monies, and whenever we refinance or sell, you know the drill. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, what an impact on the market that would be. And for the bigger boys, which when you're doing commercial and you've been holding, you're getting into higher dollars, you know, 43% tax rate, that will affect the way you invest or you might react. So that was really my ultimate question. Do y'all think it's going to happen? And if it did, what would be the effect? And I guess it's interesting to hear you don't think it'll be a single family hit as much.
No, single family. I mean, there's a couple single family guys out there do 1031s, but it's really a commercial vehicle. Mm-hmm. And here's another way to put it. For those of us in not big hedge funds and REITs and all that, it'll have an impact, but it's really going to be at that A and B class, B plus asset class. But here's how I got into commercial real estate. We got a call from our CPA and he said, you need depreciation right now. we were making so much money. You guys have got to start buying. That's really why we bought that office building.
Yeah.
We're doing cost seg, accelerated depreciation to offset all the gains that are going to come out of our fund as we start to liquidate some of these assets over the next year or so. So here's what happens. There's a repricing asset. You guys obviously are going to have a huge gain, but at the end of the day, just go buy more real estate.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the way I look at it. And don't get me wrong. Tax planning is really important. However, if you're making a lot of money, that's not a bad thing. Just go buy more real estate.
Yeah.
No, yeah, definitely. It's an honor to pay taxes in a way.
That's
a
good way to put it.
Yeah. Very interesting. Zach, I'm going to borrow that from you.
Yeah, it's an honor to pay taxes.
I didn't mean it that way, Steve, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It really is, because I've paid up to, I think the highest I've ever paid was $500,000 or $600,000 in 1 year. I want to pay $1.5 million in taxes, because
right.
That means I made five or six.
That's right.
That's exactly right, and you're right. That's a line I use, is I want to be in that cap gains, right? I want to be at least labeled in that 43% group, and then, of course, avoid it legally if I can. But nonetheless, okay, y'all answered my question. Appreciate it. Enjoy the show a lot.
Thank you, Zach. That's very kind of you. Have a good one. Okay. Robert in Conroe, we got to go to break. About 3-4 minutes. I will get to you the moment we come back from the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Jason Bible. Thanks for listening. Poor and middle class are taught to depend solely on a job for their income. If your only source of income is a job, you're in the highest risk category in America. This JOB strategy, just over broke, keeps people poor and middle class. The rich teach their children differently. They teach them to build a second stream of income, almost always with real estate. If you would like to learn how to do this, attend our free 2-hour sample class. Visit GetTotalWealth.com and click the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Jason Bible. And we're talking about really a bunch of different aspects of real estate investing, but we've spent quite a bit of time on flipping. And we've got a question from Robert in Conroe about flipping and leasing for retirement income. Robert, thank you so much for holding on so long. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent. Thanks.
Good.
How can we help?
Well, my question is, I'm getting ready to start focusing more on retirement. So I'm pretty handy. I've been in construction for probably about 35 years. Anyway, I pretty know the commercial and residential. And I was looking at either going into flipping houses or buying small little like duplexes and or quadplex and start leasing them. And I just didn't know which route to take, the best scenario, I guess, best case scenario.
You know, Robert, it's, and Jason will throw his input in a second, it's a heads you win, tails you win situation.
Right.
I liked what Jason said at the beginning of the show, where he said, look, I did a couple of flips, I did a couple of rentals, and I figured out what I liked and what I disliked about both business models, and then he focused on what he liked. So a lot of my students, Robert, will start by flipping with the idea of taking the profit from the flip to buy a rental, then flip another one, buy another rental, until they reach a point where they go, look, I don't want to flip anymore, I just want to buy rentals. So, you know, Robert, you can't go wrong with those two choices. What do you think, Jason?
If you've got the capital to buy rentals, I would absolutely buy as many rental properties as I can get my hands on. I think the appreciation is going to be amazing there. We're already seeing it there. The median home price in Houston, Texas, is appreciating $3,300 a month. It's $40,000 a year. It's absolutely insane. So I like the idea, if you've got the money, and depending on how much time they take, do like a long-term flip strategy where it's, I'm going to buy rental properties and this year, and then I'm going to buy them next year, and then the third year, I'm going to sell the ones I bought in the first year.
Huh. Yeah, good idea.
You're in long-term cap gains at that point. Now, if you don't have the capital to do it, then it makes sense. All right, let's go in and start flipping some houses, right? Because we want to generate some cash to go buy some rental properties. But I'm with Steve. Neither one of those are a bad strategy. I think both work wonderful.
Just make sure you know what you're doing before you try them, and get just keep an open mind. You're going to find one that fits you best, and that's the one you want to eventually put all your efforts towards.
I gotcha. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Robert. You take care.
You
okay, phone lines are open at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. We are in the final segment of today's show, so if you've got a question, we've only got about 5 minutes left. You need to call right now so that we have time to answer. 281-558-5738 or email me at asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. You can answer this one first because we'll probably have the same answer.
Okay.
How do you verify income on a 1099 tenant?
On a 1099 tenant?
Yeah.
I send it to my property management company. I don't do any verification.
I like that answer.
Yeah, that's Woo! How I do it. I got a property manager and I'm like, you guys do all the verification you want.
Yeah, the 1099 guy, you need to, because you can fake a 1099
right.
so easily, but you can't fake it if the name and address of the company is there. Call them just like you would any, I don't care if he had a W-2, I'm still going to call the employer and verify that income. You also can ask for bank statements so that when he shows you a 1099 for $4,000 and you look at his bank statement, there's no deposit for $4,000, he's got some explaining to do. So, yeah, the main thing is call the employer, verify whether they're 1099 or W-2 before you let them move in.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of just send me your bank statements for the last 2 months. I mean, that you can always ask them to send their tax returns, just the first page of their tax returns, right? So it's like, you know, I mean, are we talking about $4,000 a month rental property? Are we talking about $1,000 a month, right?
I
think it's – sometimes we make this a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. I'm more concerned with what their rental history is than anything else. You know, do they owe landlords money? Have they,
right.
you know, been evicted? That's much more important to me than that. But, yeah, I actually like going back and looking at bank statements for the last few months. That'll tell you just about anything.
Yeah, it really does. Plus, you can the only scary thing about that I've done with that is the amount of money. People will make $4,000 and spend $42,000.
That's right.
And I'm like, how did you do that? And then you know they've got some credit cards.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're spending even more than that. So it kind of scares you. But as long as they're, like you said, if you talk to the present landlord and the previous landlord and both of them give you good references about they pay on time, they took care of the property, then you run the credit report and there's no write-offs or evictions. I don't even care if they got a 600 credit score. I'm still going to lease to them if they've got that perfect rental history. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. And we better address this. What about dangerous, what?
Is that like dangerous breed dogs?
This is dangerous breed dogs. Well, let's answer that.
Oh, is it something
else?
All
you have to do. This one's about criminal history.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back to criminal history. With all you have to do is read your insurance policy. Any dog that they list there that they will not cover, don't let them in your house.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
If it's a dog that was trained and bred for combat, you can't keep that in your rent house, because if that dog reverts back by instinct and attack someone, they can come after you. On the criminal, I'm looking for, I don't care about pot, I'm looking for violent crimes.
Yeah, I do too.
Any domestic violence, any fighting, jail time, I don't let violent criminals into my property. But if they got a bust for, some pot, I don't care. All right, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Let's see if we got another question here. No, this is about the crawfish boil. The expo is on the 29th, which is a Saturday before Memorial Day. We have the expo from 10 to noon. There you will meet four different investors, including myself, and three of them will be doing case studies of deals they've done. You're going to see two apartment case studies and a self-storage case study. And then I'm going to take 20 minutes and explain to you why you are brilliant, why you are successful, but possibly at ineffective things. Oh, we're at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Thank everybody for the emails. Thank you, Jason, for being here. We truly appreciate it. Well, Very enjoyable.
I want to thank you. I'd never be where I was at if I wouldn't, if you weren't showing me the way.
Wow.
So a big thank you. You were the first guy I met. You showed me
All
the
right,
way.
I
so
appreciate
thank you so much.
It. But, okay, thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.